Welcome to the Retirement Lifestyle Show. I'm your co-host, Roshan Langani, here with Adrian Nicholson, back with another great episode for you. We have a great topic this week. Before we jump right in, Adrian, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Roshan. I'm looking forward to today's podcast. Our last couple of podcasts have been a lot of fun, so I like to keep the trend continuing, so ready to go whenever you are.
Yeah, today we're looking for opportunities in AI or artificial intelligence, opportunities to invest in there. Before we begin that, I think we should definitely say this is purely an intellectual conversation on trying to find investment opportunities. This is not investment advice. Please consult with your investment advisor. Do your own homework. You can reach out to us if we need help, if you need help, excuse me, but these are not recommendations we're providing at all. We're just having a discussion. And if it leads you down a path where you have some ideas that you'd like to share with us, please reach out. All of our contact information are available in the bio and the show notes, or you can go to our website, The Retirement Lifestyle Show. But once again, just reiterating, this is not financial advice. So Adrian, let's jump right into it. We started this by looking for where are there opportunities or ideas to research in the alternative, in the artificial intelligence space.
Yeah. And I think this one's just been getting a lot of cover lately. I mean, you look at a lot of large companies that are using AI in their products and services. And some of these companies have been experiencing some great returns. And of course, when you see that, investors want to look into that space to see if that's something too that is an opportunity for them. And when I was researching and looking into this topic, I thought something like really interesting and found some like interesting research. Whenever you look into something like this, it's always good to look at, they call it the value chain. So when I looked at AI, there were three things in the value chain that stood out. The first one is infrastructure, then cloud, and then AI applications. Because sometimes when people just think of AI right now, to me, I think of ChatGPT, the large language model where you can type it a question, ask it anything, and it's like you're having a human give you an answer back, or you're communicating back and forth with a real person, it feels like. And that is, I think, the very bottom right now of the value chain that I just described, the AI application. And the reason why I say the value chain is so important too, because it's not just like this appeared out of nowhere. There's a lot of technology that gets put into it, a lot of things you have to learn about it. And that's something that you really have to consider if you're thinking about this as an investment, really understanding how the beginning comes to the end, especially when it comes to products and services for a consumer.
Yeah, and you know, there've been a lot of comparisons to the internet, and mm-hmm. just using your example with the value chain with the internet, well, first people had to have access to it, right? So the infrastructure mm-hmm. had to be built, and you fast forward all the way to now where everyone's got the internet on their phone and all the apps on your phone, which I believe is like the ChatGPT you're using as a comparison. And each of those areas in that value chain, infrastructure, cloud, and applications, could lead you to investment ideas or areas to research.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I definitely think that's important. You know, while looking into this, Barron's had a great article this weekend, and they had said this was the CEO of AMD, Lisa Su, Advanced Micro Devices, had said that they think the chip space alone will be $400 billion by 2027. Intel CEO Pat Gelsinger has said $1 trillion by 2030, which is almost two times the size of the chip industry. So we've seen a lot of it in that value chain, a lot of the talk, with NVIDIA being the most talked about that I've seen in this space. That's all in that beginning of that value chain of infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of press, a lot of talk's been around that. And right now, they just can't produce these chips fast enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And you touched on a couple of things that I mentioned. First one, you talked about the web, the internet. And when AI first started coming on the scene, I think it was back in November of 2022 when people really were starting to become more aware of it, learning about ChatGPT, using AI in their daily life, that's where the conversation started to come, where is this going to be similar to the dot-com boom back in 2000? And when I was researching for this podcast and looking at the different metrics, there are some similarities, but there are some differences. One metric that we talked about before and looked at are PE, forward PE, price to earnings. And you can expand on this a little bit more, where I was looking at some charts and looking at some data, and it does show, yes, right now, if you're looking at certain AI companies, AI investment opportunities, that you are paying a little bit more of a premium compared to where the price is right now. And you are paying a little bit extra for those future earnings. And you're really hoping that these companies capitalize on that and those earnings produce in the future. And if you compare that AI to the premium that people were paying in the dot-com boom, there's a huge disparity, where people were paying multiples on multiples of premiums back in the dot-com boom, where people nowadays are paying a premium, but not yet to the degree that you saw in the dot-com boom. So I thought that was made me a little bit easier about looking into the AI space, where, you know, when people said, hey, is this like the dot-com boom? The first metric I look to is, okay, what are people paying for future earnings?
Yeah, I saw a couple interesting things along the lines of that. And one, I had seen multiple sources say this, so I apologize, I can't cite the exact one, but just that this is not like the year 2000 for, you know, right before, you know, the tech bubble crashed. You know, they're saying this is more like we're earlier in the AI space than right there, just because there's been a lot of talk of, could this be a bubble that's ready to burst? The next thing I saw along the lines of what you had said is that it said that NVIDIA, and that's once again been the poster child for this with its growth, it said their revenue growth has actually outpaced its stock gains. And it said their revenue in the fourth quarter was $22.1 billion, up 265% from the previous year. And the data center itself, the growth in that space, because data centers need all these chips to help with the AI application. That's the thing. They need all this processing power. But that was up 409%. Your PE number, I had seen this compared the 2024 earnings per share growth and PE versus the 2000 earnings per share growth. Now, these are expectations, by the way, for the earnings per share growth and 2000 PE. And the companies on the list is they averaged it out market cap weighted with Microsoft, NVIDIA, Amazon, Meta, and Alphabet. This is for the 2024 number. And it was 34 times PE with the expectation for growth of 42%. And then they compared it to Microsoft, Cisco, Intel, Lucent, and IBM. And that was a 30% growth expectation with a 59% PE. So you've got growth a little bit lower and the PE a little bit higher, which is this data, by the way, is from a JP Morgan article. But this comparison is a data point that is being used against the people saying this is a bubble. They're saying, you know, there may be a bubble forming here, but it's not a bubble yet. I really don't know where I fall on that argument. I guess I lean towards the side that says we're in the earlier stages, just because I think this technology can be huge. But I don't have a definitive answer on that. Adrian, do you have a side or an opinion on, are we in a bubble or not with the artificial intelligence space?
So the way I'm seeing it right now and what I'm researching is, right now they're calling this stage AI 1.0, like AI number one. That's the stage we're in right now, where the biggest thing right now is the capabilities need to continue to grow. It needs to scale larger. We need more powerful infrastructure. And that can be maybe where the opportunity is. And that's where investors need to look at. Are these applications, this hardware, these infrastructures, these data centers, are they growing? Are they being maintained well? The cloud, are those continuing to expand and grow and being able to handle major workloads? That's extremely crucial for cloud businesses out there. And ultimately, too, that's just something that people need to look at, because these numbers need to be met, because as you're seeing, there's, you know, there is a big demand out there. There is an appetite for these data centers, these cloud systems to continue to grow and scale to meet demand. So to me, if those numbers get hit, then I definitely see an opportunity there. But if you see maybe quarter after quarter a miss here and there, that can be something that can cause investors to be more aware of.
Yeah, and as you're describing this, it just reminds me of this term I saw called edge AI. And what that is right now there's been all the talk of getting the computing speed at the data centers, the cloud, et cetera. But eventually you're going to need that speed. People are going to want it on their phone mm-hmm. to use the AI apps. And the edge AI that I've seen is saying that allows the data to be processed essentially on your phone versus in the cloud. And a couple names I saw come up there were Qualcomm and Arm Holdings, chip makers that would make the AI chips for the actual devices. Qualcomm, they say, is working on something called a Snapdragon AI chip for Android phones. So, and it's going back to our disclaimer and disclosure earlier, I'm not recommending any of these companies. I'm just sharing the names that we've seen come up that would definitely require more research and analysis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another area too that I think sometimes isn't on people's radar as well. When I talked about the value chain, infrastructure, AI and cloud, there's also something too that I think gets overlooked sometimes with all the way up on the value chain when it comes to infrastructure and data centers are utilities. I mean, that definitely plays a big role when you have these huge data centers out here that really are supporting a lot of these systems out here. A lot of energy and fuel and resources goes into that. And that's crucial when it comes to expanding this part of the value chain. And, you know, like I mentioned too, meeting the demand out there that certain companies and consumers are having. And that's something too that might be an area that investors are looking at too. Because when you think of AI, people immediately think of technology, but there are also some other sectors and industries like utilities that get played in here as well, because the development of a more energy efficient network is vital for these data centers. Having cooling systems is also important. And when you talk about utilities and using resources too, especially nowadays, people want to make sure there's renewable energy that gets into it. They're doing it in the most efficient way that's important for the environment. So this also might be something that too causes regulation issues as well that investors need to look into. So there's a lot of things that you need to look at as well, just other than just the end product when it comes to investing in this area.
Yeah, when you talk about that also, and it reminds me of a story I'd heard with they're investing around something expanding. Specifically, the story was about how real estate around the railroads did really well as railroads mm-hmm. were being built. And when you talk about the power, coal stocks in 2023 grew huge. I think they were a multiple of growth. And the reason is because all these facilities are needed because we need more electricity. So the coal plants are staying around and they're growing significantly. Like I'm trying to find the exact number, but it was like a doubling in coal stocks. Please don't quote me on that. I need to look into it further. But the reason why you saw that, if I remember correctly, a lot of them had more than the doubling, but it's because that industry was so down. And then you've now got all this energy needed, which is making the need for coal go up.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great example, because honestly, I really think too, when people think of AI and they think of, what's really running it, I think sometimes their focus goes straight to semiconductors. And, I'm not disagreeing. Semiconductors are vital to all parts of the value chain where it comes to the data center, helping just maintain all this data and vast amounts of information and executing it based on whatever instruction you need it. On the cloud too, it's very vital as well when it comes to memory storage and just retrieving data quickly. And then graphic processing units as well is just another extremely vital piece that semiconductors provide, just helping with these products and services that are people using that makes it seem sometimes you're talking to a real human and getting answers and solutions to whatever problems come up in your life or in the workplace. So I definitely agree that semiconductors are an important part, but there are other areas too that are going to have to support this rise in demand in AI.
And it's in all spaces, as you talk about the semiconductors being one of the earlier spaces to look at. I like your infrastructure, cloud, and application breakdown you had said earlier in the value chain. That's all infrastructure stuff, right? So we haven't even gone into that next steps, which are the cloud and the applications. And that's where the argument of, are we in a bubble? Is the bubble going to burst? That kind of conversation. Things like that is why I feel like we're in the earlier stages, not the later stages, just because all the talk's been about the infrastructure side so far.
Yeah, exactly. And like I mentioned too, that's definitely AI one. And then what you just talked about, what we're going to be leading into is AI 2.0 or AI 2. And this is just the theme which focuses on the adopters, people that are using these applications, using this and leveraging it in their businesses and their services across any industries, really. You can think of like customer service, healthcare, finance, logistics, supply chain. That's all something too that people are trying to leverage and use now. And you're going to see a lot of transformations just through the use of AI over the future and how they're using this, because the relationship between AI, data centers, and cloud, it definitely seems abstract, and there's a lot to know about this technology, and it's very complicated. But the implications that are going to have on people's life is really where you can start seeing the value being unlocked.
Yeah, and as you talk about that, one of the examples I saw was that Klarna, which is the company that does the whole buy now, pay later stuff you'll see online if you're buying something, they started using an assistant, an AI powered assistant. And in the first month, it had 2.3 million conversations, which was 2/3 of its customer service chat. And it said it was doing the work of 700 full-time agents. So wow. The opportunities there are massive when you think about just expansion and growth. This is just one example that came up.
I mean, yeah, I definitely like that one. I mean, I'm someone too where nowadays, just increasingly, if I have to call an 800 number at this point, I'd rather just speak to like an AI robot who will at least just give me a consistent answer or whatever it may be, or cut my hold time down from an hour to a minute and just get something a lot more quicker, more reliable at this point. I mean, you're really seeing in these applications more and more every day where I'm starting to have a preference towards it.
Yeah. And I'll start with that chat versus, as you said, the hold time and waiting a long time for an answer. I'd much rather start with the chat bot and see if that'll resolve the problem for me. Theoretically, you could do both. Mm-hmm. Or call in, and while you're sitting on hold, just work with the chatbot to see if you can get an answer there faster, and then you can hang up the hold. Mm-hmm. Did you have other AI 2.0? Or I've got a let me just share one other thing I found interesting as we're talking about the chips is just that a lot of the cloud companies are making their own now, right? Because the demand is so high, they can't get enough chips. So Amazon is making their own, Google's making their own, Meta's making their own, and Microsoft is making their own. As I see with Meta as well, I just remember seeing that they have 350,000 NVIDIA, or they'll end the year 2024 with 315,000 NVIDIA H100 chips, which is the one they currently have out there. NVIDIA does have another one, the Blackwell, I believe it's called, that's coming out. But can you imagine that? Facebook's got 350,000 of these chips, and it's not enough. So they need to make their own. It just shows you the shortage. And I'll just go back to that data point I mentioned earlier, the fact that the entire chip industry is expected to almost double in the next 7 years.
Wow. I mean, that is so incredible.
Huge.
I mean, and I think that really goes into just the number of applications, industries, sectors. Like I mentioned before, I mean, you're seeing this across customer service, healthcare, finance, and the supply chain, and a lot of areas. And I think this is just something too that's just going to be on people's radar a lot, because you could just really seeing it impact people's like everyday life. I mean, you can think about it, like I have it broken down into a couple parts, and the first one I'll bring up is just like healthcare services as well. You know, typically in the past, you know, if you weren't feeling well or you needed questions answered, the first thing you would go is to the doctor, to the hospital or something. And now these industries are transitioning more to different features that they can provide to people. And that's just something that you're going to see continue in different areas, whether it's healthcare or finance or education, or all these different areas are going to be impacted by this technology, and how they use it and how customers receive it or respond to it is just something that investors really need to watch to see if there's going to be opportunity there.
Yeah. One thing I saw on healthcare, it says that AI can analyze patterns in a patient's medical history and health data to predict the potential risks.
Wow.
So I think just the, that's the thing with this, with AI in general, is I don't think we can fully grasp the impact, right? And it's constantly compared to the internet. But you know, I remember as a kid, there, you know, having a computer that weighed like, I don't know, 50 pounds. And that was considered like a portable computer, like a laptop. And now everyone's got a phone in their hand, in their pocket, that weighs ounces, right? And I guess maybe you could have figured that at some point it would continue to evolve, but I'd never heard of anyone predicting an iPhone, you know, right? And that, you know, technology just advanced that much. I think some of the AI technology, we can't even predict where it's going to go. Right at this stage. So, which is once again, when I hear the bubble talk, I don't, very much it could be. I could be completely wrong, but I don't think that we're in a bubble right now, or that it's about to burst right now, just because I don't think we can understand where this technology is headed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and two, I mentioned like looking at different industries and sectors, and with something like this, especially with a new technology, sometimes you have to look on it at more, sometimes like a global scale, because some regions and some countries have different advantages or disadvantages compared to others, or the type of technology or what they specialize in can be different than what other regions are, and how AI may benefit those could be opportunity there as well. So maybe looking more on a global scale too, and see what regions, what countries may benefit the most from it, maybe early on than others, is something to consider, or which ones over time may utilize it better and be able to capitalize and help maybe with their production more too, is something else worth noting, just kind of maybe just looking outside more and just, you know, broadening your horizons.
Another thing I saw as well is looking international versus looking mm-hmm. just in the United States with the opportunities in the tech space.
Yeah. You know, exactly. Like for example, some countries out there, I mean, maybe one of like their biggest industries is, you know, supply, industrial, energy, and just how AI maybe impacts that or helps them become more efficient could really just open up new opportunity and new value in that area. Some countries too. out there. They have a lot of information, a lot of data, especially some countries out there where mobile devices are a big part of their consumer base and their population too. How AI might unlock value there too is something to consider. So that's also something too that I found really interesting in this research, where you maybe have to look at different areas internationally to see that opportunity if you're looking at this as an investment opportunity.
Yeah, which when you mentioned handheld devices, you know, just mobile phones, what's interesting to me is that, you know, that Apple makes their chips, right, for their phones, and I can't remember if that's exclusively at this point or if it's just part of their supply chain. But there's been a lot of talk over the last, you know, 6 months to a year about Apple losing market share in the phone space, the iPhone space. And we talked about Qualcomm working on an Android chip for AI. I wonder what the impact will be of Apple working on their chip, you know, for the AI, and then going beyond that, what other handheld device opportunities are out there, right? We've talked about the chip providers, but is there, you know, I keep comparing the iPhone, and there was a time where Nokia was the dominant handheld provider, and then there was a time where BlackBerry was there, and then Apple comes out with the iPhone. Could AI lead to what that next company is that's going to leapfrog over what we currently have? And I have no idea how to invest in that. I'd love to hear some ideas or know more about that. But it's just as we're having this conversation of, you know, where to look or where to go fishing for opportunities in AI, is that something else, right? Something else that's out there. Yeah, that's probably too far down the line to actually do much research, but it's just an interesting thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with any new technology out there, you always just see just an influx of companies, organizations just trying to capitalize it and use it in any way they possibly can, just unlock values, grow their earnings, and just really scale whatever they're doing. And with that, with a lot of people, there are going to be losers and there are going to be winners. There are going to be a lot of people in the beginning, but how that narrows out is something that investors really need to be aware of, because I mean, at the end of the day, with competition, not all of them can be winners and not all of them can be losers as well. But that's just something you really have to consider when you're talking about looking at this as an investment opportunity, especially in the beginning when we talked about the certain premiums that you have to pay for some of these companies who are really just expecting to have their earnings grow in the future. If those numbers aren't met, it could really impact your investment over the long term. So that's something that you really have to consider when new technology like this is becoming very upfront to investors.
Yeah, completely agree with you there, right? Until we started this conversation, I didn't even think about that iPhone opportunity. So we started out, at least in my mind, thinking of the opportunities there, but that's a competitive threat potentially is out there that exists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Other names, just to go over the stuff that you had broken down in the cloud space. I think I'd mentioned a couple of them. I'm looking for my list again, but there was a Microsoft on that, Google's on that list. Who else did you see on cloud? All right, here I've got my list: Amazon, Google, Meta, and Microsoft come up on the cloud giants list in that Barron's article I mentioned. Hmm. What else are you seeing either in 2.0 or further down the line, or any other names or ideas that have come up?
Well, what you mentioned with those cloud companies, it's like we talked about before, the importance is going to be scalability, growing that, because like I mentioned before, demand is definitely there. And for them to meet those numbers is going to be crucial. This is going to be an investment opportunity for people that are going to consider looking into this.
Yeah, that is for sure. Yeah. And as I said, I was just looking for areas to research. We talked about some of the chips with NVIDIA, AMD. There's also Broadcom, Marvell. We talked about as other AI chip makers, Micron Semiconductor, just another one on the list. And then you've got the companies that provide things that are needed to make the chips, right? Or Taiwan Semiconductor, as far as making the chips. And as I said, none of this is investment advice at all. We're just trying to share a list of areas that you can look into or research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess maybe one more thing on my list that I found interesting in researching that could be an opportunity. This lines more into the adopters and AI 2.0 is just, how is this going to be leveraged more into people's home or their everyday life? I mean, we mentioned the phones, having it just in your pocket, but I think this is also something too that could be like an opportunity for people to look into how AI is going to power home automation, safety monitoring and security, more assistive technology, which I think is very crucial because over the long term too, as people get older too, this could be another opportunity to help people live more independently, longer, maintain their autonomy and improve their overall quality of life as well too. I guess this also gets played into the healthcare sector as well and see how that will be used and grow over time as well, which also may be something vital too for people to be able to maybe stay where they are and live longer and stay where they are.
Yeah, and that you'd mentioned healthcare there, but there's even just the technology adoption, right? Just continuing going down the line with some of the areas that are companies we had talked about. This I'm looking at was from an Investor's Business Daily article, but they talked about software firms, and we mentioned a couple of them, but ServiceNow, Adobe, Workday, Amazon, Google, Meta. These are all names, or Alphabet for Google, but these are all names that have come up. And then they're saying that Microsoft is currently selling Copilot, their AI software, for $30 a month per user. The cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike has something called Charlotte, an AI upgrade, which will cost $20 a month. So these are some of the software providers that could profit from it. And there are other software, cybersecurity firms, Palo Alto Networks and Cloudflare, also having exposure to this. And then they talked about going further down the line, some information technology services firms, IBM, Accenture, EPAM Systems, they're going to help implement and execute some of these things. So I think there are just so many different areas you can go when you're looking for an idea to research and spend your time. And once again, with repeating all those names, I'm not recommending any of them. This is not investment advice. These are just areas where when I'm trying to find an opportunity or where to invest in the space that come up. And even Adrian, what we talked about earlier, I didn't name any specific companies, but coal, that's another place where you can say, well, energy use is going up and needed for all this computing power. So maybe coal's a place to look. So for anyone that's listening to this and trying to say, well, where should I look for investment ideas, which is very much the approach I was using, I'd say you go and start analyzing and researching any of those areas we talked about where you think your time would be most wisely spent. Right. And that varies by individual. Most wisely spent could be, here's where I think I can find an investment idea, or most wisely spent could mean I'm more interested in this kind of investing. So I'd be more interested in researching it, and it might be on the fringe of the AI space, but AI growth and expansion could help that business or industry, which to me is where coal would fit in, right? On that side of it. As I'm looking at this, to me, that'd be an easier thing to understand. And you're not betting on who's going to be the technological winner. You can probably just look at, well, how much more coal use there'll be, how much these companies will expand. So It might not be directly related, but there may be an opportunity there. I have not spent that much time focusing on any of these. So for those of you who are listening, as I keep saying, these aren't recommendations at all. It's just places where you can look into. And I think narrowing down the focus of time, maybe we can revisit this topic and say, here's what we focused on and here's what we see and what we think.
Yeah. And I mean, we covered a lot in AI, the value chain, data centers, cloud. I think one that we haven't mentioned, which I think is a cool feature that I would want to look more into, that I think is definitely something that plays a role in AI, is robotics. I think that's something that I want to definitely learn more. And I think it's a really cool feature. I mean, see how that could play more into, I mean, one area you see it testing is transportation being used in supply chains, just becoming more efficient, reduce costs. So that's also something too that I think is another area investors can look into as well. I definitely think that might be probably the most complex one, and one that will take the longest for AI to really integrate and you actually see that, compared to what we're seeing now as people are using it as just a way to answer some questions online or just be more efficient with their data, where I know probably robotics is a little bit more complex. But I think that's also an area as well, something that we haven't talked about yet on this podcast, but is something too that investors are looking at in this space.
Yeah, and I saw yesterday, and it was just a TV commercial, so I can't name the company or anything, but the TV commercial was talking about robotics helping with surgery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they had on there like a little, it looked like a robot arm was stitching a wound.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's where, and when we were talking about earlier, this technology seems so interesting because and as I said earlier, I don't think we can fully fathom the potential impacts of this. I think it's going to be, I've heard people say it'll be bigger than the internet, right? Mm-hmm. And you couldn't really have this without the internet and the technology as things have advanced. But when someone says that, you know, I can see it. I'm a believer that that's a possibility.
Yeah. It just really will be interesting just to see how just people in general, humans, just respond, because as great this technology is, you know, I guess some people, when they see that surgery, as you know, I'd rather than a robot doing a surgery on me, I'd much rather just have a human. That's my preference. So yes, this technology is great. It's growing. It can be very beneficial. But whether or not people will accept it or reject it or not is just a whole nother discussion as well. Because, I mean, if you think about just ChatGPT, of course, a lot of people are accepting that and using that now because it's just a way to just answer quick questions. But as you start to scale up more, as it applies and is used in people's everyday life, there are going to be some things that people enjoy or some things that people are just not going to want to use. And that's something too that companies really have to consider when it comes to investing in this place as well. Is it going to be profitable in the long term, or how people are going to respond to it?
Yeah. And it's interesting you say that, because you know, when I've heard in the investment space of the opportunities for AI, a lot of what I've heard and seen, the most frequent thing I've heard is they think AI would be good at investing because it will take the emotion out of investing. When you had mentioned not feeling comfortable with having a surgery via AI, I wonder if that robotic AI could take out or eliminate some of the human error, mm-hmm. right? When you're, can a wound be stitched as precisely or more than the best human at doing it? I don't know the answer to it, but I'm not as hesitant to have AI surgery done on me as you would be, which is where it comes back to what I think you had said earlier. You talked about the adopters or the adoption of these things. You know, people will accept and use them at a different pace.
Yeah, and to me, really, it gets boiled down to trust, because ultimately what these are running on is data, the entries, the inputs, the zeros and ones that are provided to it. I mean, you could just use a classic example. If you aren't very clear or direct or ask your question in a correct way to ChatGPT, it doesn't know that you're asking the incorrect question, but it'll give you an answer to that. And that might not apply to you. So it really is valuing and you're trusting the data that it's given. And to that, to me, is something where you're really going to want to take your time and see how it works over time. And the trust element is huge into it.
And that's where humans will have to be trained on how to use it. Mm-hmm. So with the ChatGPT example, if anyone was trying to use this and they do a search on prompts to use, they'll find suggested ways to get the answer to the question you're asking easier. Mm-hmm. So I think we will have to definitely adapt to how to use the technology as well.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it, Roshan. I agree.
Yeah. I hope everyone listening found this interesting and helpful, and this helps you on your path. Though we don't have any specific answers, I think this is a good start, and we can revisit it as Adrian and I spend time researching this. We can revisit this topic if we've got something. I imagine it'll be weeks or months down the road, because I can't see a situation where we can research this and have any more updates that quickly. There's a lot to look into. But thank you for listening. Please join us for our next episode of the Retirement Lifestyle Show. We'll be back with a lot of good information helping you on your path to take control and achieve your goal.
Schedule a conversation with Roshan, Adrian, or Eric today at retirementlifestyleshow.com. Roshan and Eric are certified financial planner practitioners. They, along with Adrian, are investment advisor representatives and serve clients across the U.S. with financial planning and investment advice through RHA Wealth. If you found this show helpful, gained knowledge, or enjoyed the time you spent with us, tell your friends and leave us a 5-star review. This will help others discover the show. To access our show notes, to download any of the tools mentioned in today's podcast, to ask us a question, or to schedule a conversation, go to retirementlifestyleshow.com. All opinions expressed by podcast hosts and guests are solely their own. While based on information they believe is reliable, neither RHA Wealth nor its affiliates warrants its completeness or accuracy, nor do their opinions reflect the opinion of RHA Wealth. This podcast is for general informational purposes only and should not be regarded as specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Before making any decisions, consult a professional. The show hosts offer investment advice through RHA Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor, and securities through RHA Wealth Management, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, and NFA. Finally, our music is The Chance by Jason Shaw and Audionautics. It's part of the YouTube audio library, and it's licensed under a Creative Commons license. I am Ray Voices. Thank you for listening.